Hi, I'm Britton LaRue, and this is Moon to Moon. Moon to Moon is a space to consider, celebrate, and share the ways we come home to ourselves, anchor through change, and uncover our power. 1 month, one phase, one loving step at a time. Dear Moon to Moon, it's Britton, your host, and I am back with a new episode for you. This one is a solo one. I'm super fired up. I have spent the last few days in deep contemplation, in deep meditation on the themes that are going to come through here today. And I'm just super pumped. Before I jump in, I want to remind everyone who has seen the notice and let anyone know who hasn't seen the notice that on Wednesday, the 17th of April, I'm holding a town hall for my book, Living Astrology. What I mean by town hall is it's just like a gathering for anyone who wants to be there. It's free. I'm going to be reading what I think are some of the most potent, radical, and revolutionary, and helpful, and exciting parts of the book. And I also want to talk about how to use the book and how it's set up and how you can engage with it. Even though there's really no rules, I mean, everyone's going to do their own thing, but I did set it up a certain way for certain reasons, and I want to talk about that, and we can look at Aries and Taurus chapters in particular, since that's where we are in the wheel. And then I'm going to have time for your questions, and anyone who wants to bring anything to me who has been engaging with the book, you maybe have been reading it, you're into it, maybe you haven't opened it yet, but you have it and you have a lot of anticipation around it. Maybe you haven't bought it and you're thinking about it, like you've been thinking you will, you just haven't yet. You're all invited. Everyone's invited because it's free. It's just going to be a place to basically celebrate the book and have some lovely conversation about it. So I'm really excited. I'm going to be able to share the replay for anyone who's thinking about buying the book or who just bought the book. I want it to have a kind of evergreen resonance as well as holding the frequency of being a live town hall. We can do this. And I'm really excited. So I'm going to have the link in the show notes. If you haven't signed up, everyone who signs up, you'll then see this offering in your teachable space of other things that you may have invested with me. They'll all be together. And so that means the recording will then be there within 24 hours of the live event. So if you can't come on Wednesday at my 3 p.m. Central, about 90 minutes, if you can't come live, you'll still get the recording by Thursday. If you want to play it back, maybe you like the idea of hearing me read from it while you're just like driving your car or going on a walk or something. I know that I've had a lot of people asking me if there's going to be an audiobook. My publisher tells me that completely depends on how it does in the marketplace. And there's not an answer on that one yet. So in the meantime, you can hear me read from the book by coming to the town hall. So I hope to see you there. If you're not able to make it and you're really hoping a certain kind of question is asked, feel free to email info@brittonlaRue.com and let me know that you would like to hear me speak to your question. I'd love to do that. So thank you so much. That's really my only announcement here so that I can get into the content of today's episode. So what I want to do here today is introduce Underdog to Diva. For real now. Many of you may have heard of me speak of this upcoming workshop I'm going to be doing on May 9th. I haven't really like been in my channel with it previously when I mentioned it, but I have now. It's all I can do to keep this contained to 3 hours. I originally thought it would be two, but it's very clear it's going to need to be three. This is the course. Are you ready? It's this episode, which is obviously free. It's an upcoming episode on Healing the Spirit, the podcast that's hosted by Jonathan Coe. That'll come out in a couple weeks. That to me is like part two of the course. So obviously that's free too. And then there's the paid part of the course. And for exchange, it's going to be the 3-hour live where I'm going to be focusing on like the nitty gritty of parts of the framework, the practices. It's going to have a meditation for you to be connected to your inner divinity. And it is going to have a pretty serious PDF full of kind of classic living the sign style, like journaling, tarot spreads, and other ways to engage with what comes up for you as you feel into this framework. I'm seeing now is another one of my frameworks. That really didn't fully come in until today when I sat with my guides and I really saw the ways this has scaffolding around it. And of course that gets me all excited. So yeah, Underdog to Diva. You know, when I've been thinking about a tagline, I may not even end up having a tagline because it's very holographic for me right now. Like, there are so many ways that this can help someone. It's hard to pin down the tagline, but what I wrote down earlier is the energetics of navigating the marketplace in devotion to your divinity. And I'm going to tease all that out. So this part one of the class is really me sharing like the intellectual and energetic scaffolding of the framework. And like really just like opening the door so that we can even walk into this room and like understand what kind of room we're looking at, you know? And I'm really excited to explore this with you. It feels really hot. It feels kind of scary for me to talk about, and that's how I know I'm onto something. So on the surface, I'm really excited about playing with surface and depth, or like surface and a deeper truth that this title has within it. On the surface, Underdog to Diva kind of sounds like, oh, this is going to be something that has to do with success. This has something to do with fame. This has something to do with wealth. And so much in this offering, I'm going to be like, in one hand this and in the other that. On the one hand, yes, it's true. Underdog to Diva is about success, fame, and wealth. On the one hand. But what I'm interested is like perhaps not the usual way that this is approached, because I'm not really interested in promising that what we're going to do here is going to like make you money or make you quote unquote successful or help you get famous. Like I'm actually really not that interested in that as much as what I am interested in. However, I would be lying if I pretended like the stuff that I'm sharing here hasn't been crucial to my own navigating of success, of like whatever kind of famous one could say that I am, because that's such a relative term. And same with wealth. Success, fame, and wealth, they're all completely relative, right? But in terms of concepts like growth, you know, like we have this idea of growth in these things. If there's such a thing as growth, I have grown in these things through the navigating of the energetics that I want to be talking with you about. So, who is this for? Who is this for? This is really the first major question of this framework. Who is this for? This is for the players. This is for the players. This is for the hustlers. This is for the imposters. This is for the fools becoming magicians. This is for anyone out there or wanting to be, quote unquote, out there in the marketplace. So that's not everyone, right? Not everyone on this planet is like hustling in the marketplace, so they may think, right? But this is actually like arguable in the sense of like, how does one divest from the marketplace? Even if you quit working, so to speak, because your partner, say, can go out and make the money and then you don't have to, there's still a participate. That's like a way of participating, you know? And so this course, this workshop, maybe some might say this is like a masterclass type thing. This is really for those interested engaging with like the fact of the marketplace, is how I'm going to put it. The fact of the marketplace, like the fact that it does exist. And how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that as divine beings? Because who's my audience, right? If you just want to learn, like, what are the hacks to make more money? Like, what are the hacks to grow my following or whatever? That's cool. And not a bad idea, you know? If that's where you feel like you could use some skill, sure. And also, for my part, I'm really interested in working with magical people, magical beings, magical humans. I tend to speak to those who like to play in the truth of multiple realities existing at one time. I tend to be someone who's talking to those who appreciate and get the fact that we are all divine beings walking amongst divine beings. And I'm interested in sharing what the things that I've been learning in this Underdog to Diva path from the perspective that there is a reality called the marketplace where we put numbers on things and dollar signs or whatever the name of your currency is in the country where you live or that with which you're doing business, right? Like, this fact for me is like my growth area, because as a person who is strongly Piscean and kind of like doesn't really understand money, the ways like money is often talked about, especially in that kind of like economics brain. That's the lowest grade I got in my college career, was in macroeconomics. Like, I don't know what you're saying. What? And as someone who has a deep damsel in distress archetype from my lineage, like woman to woman to woman to woman in history, like save me from having to touch money. Save me from having to get dirty. Save me from the indignity, you know? Gotta find a man who's gonna protect me and work so I don't have to. This kind of damsel. And I'm really like truly coming from a place of not wanting to shame that. I just have discovered that at a spirit level, I'm really meant to turn that story in my lineage. And all timing is perfect. So here I am. Here I am, like, whew, having learned some things about like the facts of the marketplace. Like it is a reality. It is a reality that has consequences. We know it has consequences because it actually is harmful and it actually is amazing. Like, depending on how it is going for you, you know, and what it's like for you, we know it's real. We know it's real. So for like myself, like, letting myself come down to the planet Earth and like accept that this is here. And if it really is here, how would I like to be engaging with this while staying connected to myself? That's what Underdog to Diva is about. That's what Underdog to Diva is about. You know, I would say that there may be some who are very attracted to this, who feel like they've always been living in the marketplace reality, and what the reality that you want to get closer to is your divinity reality. Because I would say that that's on another plane. That's a different plane of reality, your divinity truth. And so this workshop, these teachings are here for you too. It's about from wherever you are in your path, being able to be inside both at the same time and enjoy yourself, right? Like, how to enjoy yourself in both planes of reality, staying connected to your divinity, your sovereignty, the sense of power and love that moves through you when you are deep in your divinity path as you navigate the marketplace. Are you feeling me? I just think this is the coolest topic. Okay. So let's just like break this down. Gotta always start with terms, you know, like what are the terms that we're using here? How are we defining them? Let's look at them. Let's like poke at them. Look inside their pockets. The underdog. So the way I'm feeling into this term, inviting you, listener, to feel into like, what is the underdog? What is the underdog? What is the vibe? What is the vibe? What are the presumptions? What are the conditions? When are you an underdog and when are you not an underdog? Feeling into that, right? What I'm seeing is, well, we know that the term comes from the 19th century, and it actually comes from dog fights. It comes from then gambling. So an underdog is tied to the money reality, the marketplace, the race, the reality where we have concepts like winning and losing, where we have concepts like fortune and misfortune, where we have concepts around placing bets, taking risks, putting your money on things, right? So I feel like it's really important to just fully see this aspect of the underdog archetype so that you can like give it a good smell. That like to be an underdog is in the marketplace reality in many ways. It hinges on, it's tied to being in contract with an audience that's betting on you, right? And why are they betting? Why are they betting on the underdog? They're betting on the underdog because it's a great deal. For one, because what it suggests is the reason you're an underdog is because you have no evidence that you're a winner yet. There's no evidence that you're a big winner, that you're a top dog. There's no evidence that you're a top dog. So the going rate for betting on the underdog is going to be more reachable. You know, it's going to be more feasible for those that are betting on you. So in many ways, when you're an underdog, you're at the beginning of something. To be an underdog is to be a beginner because you have no evidence. And naturally then, when your prices are low, because you're a beginner and there is no evidence that would like validate as much you having higher prices, then what happens is you're naturally going to have clients who are counting on you to be within their reach, and they want to feel like they're winning because they're getting this great deal. They're getting this great deal, you know? That feels really good to them. They're just like, wow, I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky that I was able to get this extraordinary value, because this person that I'm buying from is more skilled than their prices would suggest. So I must be a winner. I'm a winner because I got this great deal from this underdog. So that's not going to be the case for all like customers and clients. But in many ways, it just kind of naturally happens that a fraction of the people that are putting money on you, they're the ones believing in you and nobody else does. That's part of the underdog story. They're believing in you and nobody else does. There are a fraction of them that their love for you is contingent on you being an underdog. And meaning that you're in a state where not everyone believes in you, you know? And so to me, a large part of the underdog to diva pathway, the navigating aspect of this, is how to move through experiences where you want to grow, say, in the marketplace, as in, I think I have enough evidence to raise my prices, or I think I have the evidence that I no longer want to do this or that in my exchanges because I'm busier now and I don't have as much time for that anymore. Whatever it is that you begin to realize that you need to continue to grow and to like enjoy the process, you may begin to rattle and upset those who had been cheering you on, who no longer feel like they can be called themselves winners anymore, or that they can think of themselves as special for being the only ones who saw you, or that they can see themselves as somehow having like a kind of access that they got used to, and now you're telling them they don't have this kind of access to you. As you move through these experiences, you can kind of feel, my growth is going to be upsetting. My growth is going to be upsetting too, and you can probably see their faces. If you don't see their faces, you can like feel it energetically. You can feel the waves of this not being liked, of this being judged perhaps, of this being misunderstood, of this being shamed. And so to me, what I want to help folks with is moving through those kind of gnarly navigating periods when you're like, I have a choice. I can grow or not grow. But if I want to grow, it's going to mean I'm going to have to navigate this. So what are the tools to help us navigate these things? That's what I'm interested in helping you with through this offering. I have found it to be true that this business of jumping into the marketplace is one in which, like, as long as we understand that this reality is kind of an illusion, I mean, it's very real, but it's not the truth of you. The marketplace reality is real, but it's not the truth of your divinity. And in that sense, jumping into play can feel really scary because, like, you know the truth. At the truth of you, there's like no price that could be, like, you don't want to put a price on yourself, right? But that's why it's really helpful to understand that the marketplace is like a game. It's real, but it's a game that's not tied to the truth of your divinity. And so sometimes I see that it's really important to have a level of humility on the one hand of just like, I may not be a beginner at my gifts. I'm, you know, not actually a beginner in my wisdom, but I am a beginner at the marketplace. And like full blown embracing that is like big tip I would give to people starting out or afraid to start is like the energy is puppy, you know, because these are dog analogies, y'all. The energy is puppy. It's like what Caroline Casey says, woof, woof, wanna play. You know, it is like, have a good time. These prices are actually like kind of don't mean anything, even though they are very real on, you know, it's one and the other. And so the idea is to bring this puppy energy of like, I'm going to get to participate. I am choosing to participate. I'm going to get in this game. This is like my big tip is if you want to participate, first you have to decide that, right? It's a choice. And if you want to play, my first tip for you is jump in like a puppy, because the buoyancy of that spiritedness is keeping you connected to your divinity. The buoyancy of the playfulness, the willingness to kind of fall and get messy and roll around and just have a good time. Have a good time as you navigate what it is to be a beginner at participating with your gifts, with your service, with your genius in the marketplace. Remembering that you are a divine being and that spirit of the puppy keeps you connected to that. Because this reality is distinct. The marketplace reality is distinct from the truth of your divinity. So what is it like to be connected to our divinity? This is something I'm going to be exploring with you and helping you with through the meditation I'm going to be offering. It's like, what does that even mean? And I'm going to be using a framework with Wheel of Fortune and the World card. We're going to be looking at the fixed signs as they support us in protecting and caring for the circle of our divinity, the circle of the spirit, the sun side of ourselves. These fixed signs are where we put stakes in the ground to know who we are and who we are not. to know our yes from our no. In other words, the fixed signs support us in naming our boundaries, because the boundaries deal is what the underdog to diva framework is all about, is having the audacity to be a person who has boundaries. Having the audacity to be a person with boundaries. You may have heard me say before, or you may have read it before in one of my workbooks, that I connect Taurus with self-worth, Leo with self-love, Scorpio with self-trust, and Aquarius with self-esteem. Seeing this as us all having the fixed signs, and that each of these pillars, like they're like cornerstones supporting the house of ourselves, inside of which is our big, huge divinity spirit. And so navigating underdog to diva is to me to be in deep devotion to self-worth, self-love, self-trust, and self-esteem. It all comes down to those. It all comes down to those. And those aspects of you have boundaries. And so the role of shame in this cannot be underestimated, because as you may have heard me say before, one of the huge symptoms of shame is lack of self-trust. Another one is a compulsion to fix yourself. And another one is feeling like you don't have the right to set boundaries. And so Underdog to Diva is very much an unshaming project, like pretty much everything that I do, because what happens in the in underdog contracting is that wherever we have shame, when we're underdogs, we can forge contracts, we can price offerings, we can make energetically unclear boundaries with people in our community. If we have, wherever we have shame, wherever shame resides is where we're going to have a fuzzy boundary. We're going to have a fuzzy place where we can get poked at and where we can be vulnerable. And whenever you are moving from a place of not wanting to be vulnerable, there's going to be a contraction around sharing yourself. And Underdog to Diva is about amplifying how you share yourself, because you're amplifying your gifts in the world. You're amplifying your participation in this world, in the fact of the marketplace, being the one who's caring for your divinity, which means you're going to have boundaries, and you're going to have fuzzy boundaries wherever there's shame. This doesn't mean don't do it. Because guess what? You learn as you go. You learn as you participate. You learn as you navigate. You learn on the job. There's always more to learn, always. Around every bend, there is more learning. And you just take the tools with you and apply the tools to support yourself as you move. As you move, what you're doing mostly is clearing distortions about your divinity. So Underdog to Diva is really about navigating these two realities, the marketplace reality and the truth of your divinity coexisting as you participate in this world and as you want to grow in the amplification of your gifts in this world. And maybe as you do that, that will look like success, that will look like fame, that will look like wealth, maybe. Those are all signatures of the marketplace reality. And what I would say is that actually, prices going up, yeah, on some level you can say that shows you're a winner. But what I have found to be true is nothing says I'm a winner like being connected to my divinity. And I'm the only one who can give myself that. Nothing to me says I am so lucky than just being in the sheer presence of my own divinity. This is the Underdog to Diva. So you can never be unlucky. You can never be a loser when you're connected to your divinity. It is actually not possible. Anything could be happening outside of you, and you're still connected to your winningness. You won. You're connected to your divinity. The external stuff is a game that's very real. It's a game. It's wild. Okay, so something I want to underline again is that you always have choices. This is something I think is really important to remember, that we're always free here in the sense of I have a choice. I can participate in the world like this or not. I can, okay, I do want to participate. Okay, then I'm choosing to be an underdog, which means I'm choosing to be someone who's out there getting evidence, which means I'm choosing to play the game, which means I'm choosing to be humbly and puppy-like at the beginning of something. I'm willing to be consciously, constantly learning as I go. And one of the big things that you're navigating as you're learning here is what it's like being in contract with different people where money is involved. That's what you're learning, is what it's like to be in contract where money is involved. And this is where it's really important to just understand that contracts are like absolutely at the center of this pathway, because we're constantly contracting, as in like, I promise this and you pay me this, right? Maybe sometimes you're exchanging for trade, which is different. It's not quite as zingy as money is when we trade. Trade is like safer, you know? Money is a certain kind of trade, and there's a contract around it. So something that's extremely important that I would, you know, want to support all underdogs with, everyone who's in an early underdog stage, is appreciating that many of the people that you're contracting with are just, you're naturally going to have to outgrow them. Because a fraction of the people that you are initially making contract with are attracted to you because you're the underdog. And because you're an underdog, that means you have lower prices and they have what feels like more access to you. And this is where we can really benefit from having a lot of consciousness, just consciousness that you're being an underdog is in the contract energetically in some way. And that at some point, if you want to grow, it will be important for you to update the contract. And now many of the people that you're in contract with are going to celebrate that. They're going to be like, I'm so glad that you're growing. I'm so glad that this is happening for you. I'm so glad that this time has come. You will find that people celebrate you, or they will just understand, even if it means that they don't get the kind of access to you that they once had. They'll understand, and they will be rooting for you. They understand that it's their job to hold all of their feelings around that. But there will be other folks that you contract with who will not have consciousness around the fact that they brought their wounded story to the contract with you. And they may not have the capacity, they might not have the consciousness to locate their own internal grief, their own storytelling, their own sense of wanting you to be responsible for how it feels for them, that you raised your prices or whatever you did to give yourself more space so that you can listen to your creative channel. Or just set up your life however the goddamn hell you want, you know? Being in your divinity, being in your divinity means really listening there and giving yourself the right to be someone who wants things, someone who needs, who has needs, someone who wants to enjoy certain types of things. Like maybe for you, it's through things that you have. Maybe it's for you, it's like a high, high value on how much time you have. Maybe it's wanting more attention on some things and less attention on other things. Maybe you want to just spend more time like workshopping and not as much in one-on-ones. Like, I don't know. This is for you to give yourself permission to be the one who tends to these things, to be the one who listens to what your needs and preferences and wants are, you know, and what boundaries you're going to need to update in order to give yourself these things that you want and need. Trusting that everyone's experiencing their own journey in life and everyone is responsible for taking care of their own divinity. And that you're having a boundary is not an attack on somebody else. And it doesn't make you a quote-unquote bad person, right? But along the way, navigating underdog to diva, you may be very fearful about this. Like, this is what I see again and again and again and again for myself and for those that I mentor, is just the fear that someone's going to be mad at you. The fear that not being an underdog is going to mean that you're one of the bad guys now. The fear that no one will be rooting for you if you have a proven track record of success, because now they're going to be looking at ways to critique you or to find a reason why they liked you better before, as if that's your responsibility. Because as you decide to grow, these things come up. If you're not growing, it may be because you've chosen not to have to look at these things. And that is a fair choice. Because what I want to tell you is that many ways, underdog to diva is a journey of being willing to be with the fact of the grief and anger, frustration and resentment in this world, and stay in your creativity and stay inside of love and stay inside of your joy and in your divinity anyway, and show up anyway. Because to me, growing, you have a choice. You can either grow by placating your audience and giving them the things that have already been proven to be validated, or you can grow by listening to your divinity and following wherever that takes you, even if it means things will change as you go and some people may not like it and they may want to let you know about how they don't like it. This really comes back again to contracts, I would say, this theme of contracts being so important, because it's really important to identify, what have I contracted to? Underdog to diva. What did I contract to? Did I contract to be this person's caregiver? Did I contract to carry their pain with them? Did I contract to walk with them every step of the way while my offering changed their life? Did I contract to be available anytime they want to reach me, ever? Like, you start to have to realize, like, oh, I had a confusing contract with this person, and I'm willing to take responsibility for the fact that I need to get clear on my boundaries, and I need to be more clear when I contract about what I'm actually doing and what I'm not actually doing. Because the more you can trust in your contract, like, this is what I said I do, this is not what I said I do. Like, if someone projected that being something that I was giving them, that was like their confusion and not mine. you know? Underdog to diva means getting more and more clear about what is in your contract with other human beings and what are you actually responsible for? So this theme of responsibility is just absolutely enormous in underdog to diva. Because often when we're in an underdog state, we take on way more than we need to be responsible for. Because we are, sorry, I just got a phone call, so my brain's a little like, ah. It feels so good because we're puppies, you know, it feels so good to be in exchange with our gifts and to be participating with our gifts. And it feels so amazing when we're being validated and when we're being told like how life-changing our offering is. It feels so good that sometimes we find ourselves overextending because we want to get more hits of that validation and we want to get more hits of like feeling important to somebody. And like have like tons of compassion around that. To me, all this underdog to diva business is not about perfection. It's not about being like perfectly clear every single second. It's not about like no shame ever. To me, underdog to diva is about being willing to be very conscious with ourselves, to be willing to notice the ways that we're contracting with reality, with other humans, and the ways we contract with stories about the way the world works. Because here's a really huge, huge, huge theme, lesson, step in underdog to diva. I would say that if you want to be someone who grows in marketplace success while staying connected to your inner divinity, when you're inside of your inner divinity, self-worth, self-love, self-trust, self-esteem, when you're deep in devotion to that, there's really no space for shaming other people, blaming other people, judging other people, policing other people, thinking that you know better than somebody else what they should be doing with their business. That is, to do this work consciously, to do underdog to diva in a conscious way, means taking responsibility for when you get unhooked from your divinity and you're in one of those places. When you're in judging, shaming, blaming, policing, thinking you know better than somebody else how they should do their business. Honestly, like, if you want literal underdog to diva success, this is the takeaway. This is the takeaway. Call yourself back home. The meditation that I'm going to be offering is going to be supporting you in calling yourself back to your divinity when you find yourself getting hooked in one of those that takes you away. Because as long as you get hooked in those patterns, then you're like going to hook up with other people that do too. And then the people that you hook up with, they're going to think that they can shame you, blame you, judge you, police you, and tell you how they think that you should run your business. It's just a mirror. It's a mirror. So the more you're not engaging with that, it's not about perfection. If you're willing to just notice yourself doing it, you've already changed the energy. You've already changed the energy just noticing. So don't go into more shame, you know? If you're willing to notice and then you're like, ah, there it is, just stepping back now. That is like all we're talking about. That is the practice. And this will then allow you to be someone who attracts humans who are going to let you be sovereign in your business, which will help you feel really free, knowing that I'm the kind of person who's creating from my creative genius, from my spirit, from my guidance, from my channel, and not from my obligation to my quote unquote patrons. Because when you're in your divinity place, when you're connected to your divinity, you understand that nobody can own you. Nobody can own somebody else. You understand that this dollars thing, this money thing, it's not really true at all to your divinity. It's an illusion. It's part of the marketplace reality, which is also real. And that marketplace reality activates everyone's wounded stories, because most humans on this planet have wounded stories related to money. So to me, Underdog to Diva is a framework to help you quit contracting with people's wounded stories. That doesn't mean that the person that you're contracting with isn't bringing their wounded story, and it's not to shame their wounded story. It just means that you will no longer feel responsible for what's actually not your responsibility. You are not responsible for saving someone from their wounded stories. So that brings us circling back to the grief piece. The grief piece is really important. There's the grief of when you begin to get critiqued, yelled at, told off by those who think that they can tell you how you should run your business. And you're completely shocked because you thought that this person was your supporter and that they were rooting for your liberation. There's some serious grief there. So much grief that some may not want to grow because that is so intense to be in the face of. That is so real, let me tell you. And there is the grief that you see in the world as people engage with you from their wounded places. You know, we see this all the time, of course. It's intense. But the more you are connected to your inner divinity, the more you are able to rejuvenate yourself from any illusions that you're somehow responsible for somebody else's connection to their divinity. You can't make someone be connected to their divinity. Only they can. It can be so frustrating when it feels so obvious how someone could help themselves and they don't. It's really just none of our business, which is also why it's none of their business to think that they have any kind of claim over your divinity, you know? All of this gets revealed through relationship. Sovereignty gets practiced through relationship. And it's like you can't want your own sovereignty if you're not willing to give other people their own sovereignty, you know? So that's the real self-confrontation to bring consciousness around with this, you know? It's like you can't want for yourself what you're not willing to celebrate in somebody else, you know? It's a mirror. And that's like, you know, lesson number one. It really is. Because as I said, this is part one of the class. Part one of the class is happening right now. That's lesson number one, is like really letting that land. If you're anytime you're shaming or judging someone else, this is really all about you and where you're needing love. And who's going to give you that love? You. Through your relationship to your divinity. So Underdog to Diva is very much then about confronting grief and anger in this world and not letting yourself get pulled in. Because when you're in deep relationship to your divinity, you start to realize that, like, you just don't really have time. Like, there's things that you're here to do, you know, in this beautiful life we have. And you just don't have the time to get drawn into dramas that have really nothing to do with you, you know? And this is intense because, here's the word diva. Diva is what we look like. This is what you look like to someone who's not connected to their divinity when you're in your divinity. When you're sitting inside of this love, when you're in that space, you don't wish suffering for anyone, anyone. When you're in connected to your divinity, that's that sweet space of just wanting love everywhere for all beings. Truly. No joke. Not pretending. It's real, you know? And thus, you know that it's not for you to get involved in someone's confusion when they don't have a relationship to their divinity yet. Let's say yet, because always holding out hope for all humans just can't control the timing of when that happens. So in the meantime, while this person who's being mean to me is not connected to their divinity, I have to understand that what I look like to them is a diva. I am the audacity to be a person of preferences, the audacity to be a person who has boundaries, the audacity to be someone who values their time so much they know what they have time for and what they don't have time for, the audacity to name communication preferences and when you're accessible and when you're not accessible to someone. The audacity of your prices, you know, like this is going to be called whatever you want to do is your divine right, right? It is your fucking right. And to those who are not connected to that inner divinity, and of course, we are calling this in for everyone. I trust that, and the people who are interested in my voice, that you're with me on this, that we want it for everyone. And also, you don't have to get pulled in to someone calling you a diva, because that is what you're going to be called to someone who's not connected to their divinity. Diva means divine. Diva means divine, and yet we use it to shame people in this world, particularly women. So, yeah, I think I'm feeling fairly complete. I did want to review. Let me review my notes here. I kind of I was like writing so much earlier. One thing I wrote down is like a list of like what Underdog to Diva is a framework for. Let me just read these because they're fun. This is a framework for navigating growth, success, victory, and pleasure. And here I'm feeling into the sixes in the tarot. Underdog to Diva is a framework for navigating the sixes as you're moving from the fives or relating to people who are contracting with you from their fives. And if you're not a tarot person, the fives are can be a very contracted space in each of the suits, like some kind of contraction, a frustration, scarcity, some kind of like you're in a rough patch. And then the sixes, everything starts to expand back out again, and you're like through that hard portal. But fives aren't bad because they're part of life, and life is wonderful. So I would say. So I guess I'm going to amend that and say not all things in this life are wonderful, but I'm so happy to be alive is what I'll say. The fives become part of the whole of all life when you're connected to your divinity rather than something that you're like cursed with and is happening to you. They become part of the whole of the portal of expanding and contracting. Underdog to Diva is a framework for staying in your divinity throne and not getting derailed by public opinion. It's a framework for clearing distortions about value and success. Underdog to Diva is for releasing patterns of contracting with people's wounded stories. Underdog to Diva is a framework for uncoupling from the hooks of validation and the hooks of invalidation. Underdog to Diva is a framework for protecting your gifts and your service from shit that isn't yours to hold and dramas that drain your time and energy. Underdog to Diva is a framework for relating to the fixed signs, particularly Taurus, so that you know where your boundaries are. And we're going to be working with Jupiter and Saturn through Wheel of Fortune and the universe or the world to support us in building that framework. That's really going to be what we do in the class, is like really getting into the archetypal nuances of the framework through really powerful questions and really powerful practices to help you wherever you are in your journey with this, because I don't consider myself complete with this. This is probably one of those frameworks that I'll be returning to again and again as I learn more, but I do feel that I have come to a place where I feel like there is just so much to say about this from my own life and from supporting so many folks who have dreams for sharing their gifts in this world, but feel the conflict of having to do that in that weird, wonky reality of the marketplace. And so I can't wait to keep sharing more with you. The live event is going to be May 9th, so Taurus season. I believe it's going to be 3 to 6 p.m. my time, central time. So it'll be 4 to 7 East Coast time, if that's the time zone that you use to figure out your time zone. And you will not have to be there live, but live can be super fun, and you'll be able to ask questions and contribute to the collective gnosis that comes through when we all come together. So stay tuned for the Healing the Spirit episode coming up, because that's going to be part two of the class. And then the paid exchange is where we have part three. At this point, I do not have a link to sign up. I'm going to open the doors to the class on May 1st. So if you are not following me regularly here, or if you're not on my newsletter, or if you're not on Instagram, those are all going to be places where I'm going to be like, the doors are open and here is the link. So that you can get all of this material and let it be something that nourishes you for years, because I really know that this offering is going to be something that, like, every 6 months to a year, you will return to it and you'll hear it very differently depending on where you are in your life. And I just really love creating offerings that way, that, like, you can trust that it's not like a one-time transaction. It's like what you're investing in is something that's just going to keep coming back to you in waves with, like, new goods that get rolled up onto the shore, you know? So super excited. Tell me how you're feeling about it. I would love to know what came up for you with this episode. Please leave a rating or a review for Moon to Moon if you have not done so yet. And I will see you at the next one. Cheers.